Good morning. I call the Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting to order at 8:02 a.m. on Thursday, March 2nd. Joining me today, we have Representative Price Tompkins, Representative Rauscher, Representative Drummond, Representative Lincoln, and myself, Chair Parrish. Our staff this morning are Laurie Roland from House Records, Eileen Kine on teleconference, and Patrick Cornish, my committee aide. We do have a quorum to conduct business. At this time, I'd like to remind all committee members and other people in the room to silence your cell phones and other electronic devices. We have one item on the agenda today, House Concurrent Resolution 19, the Alaska Natives Language Emergency Bill. Our first order of business is House Concurrent Resolution 19. This is the second hearing of the bill, and we've already heard the sponsor's presentation. The resolution strongly urges that the governor issue an administrative order recognizing the linguistic emergency that exists. The state and state that it is the policy of the state of Alaska to actively promote the survival and continued use of all of Alaska's 20 native languages. We did not complete public testimony during our last meeting. I will be reopening public testimony at this time.
Mr. Sherman.
Good morning. We've been joined by Representative Sadler at 8:04 a.m. We have several people on the line and some in the room here to testify. We will begin with Sydney Hartley from Ketchikan. Sydney, if you'd please introduce yourself by placing your name and affiliation on the record, and then you may proceed to give your testimony.
Hi, Sydney Hartley. Do I need to spell it, or?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Are you affiliated with any organization, Sydney?
No, I'm not with an organization. I'm speaking independently.
All right. You may give your testimony.
Yuk A Tutak, Sydney Hartley, Yuhut Duasak, Kichkank, Ye Hut Yeti, Shrinke, Stuhapu, Tlain Gunish Chish. Good morning. My name is Sydney Hartley. I live in Ketchikan. I'm learning Tlinke. Thank you very much. First, I want to thank proponents of HCR 19 advocating for the prevalence of indigenous languages of Alaska. I'd also like to express my gratitude for the privilege of learning the Tlingit language at the University of Alaska Southeast. This coastal sanctuary I've come to call my home for the last 8 years is overflowing with opportunity and resources to sustain the languages and cultures of its very soul, the people. I am Swiss. My great-grandfather, Melchior Stuzler, immigrated to America on August 12, 1910. He couldn't speak English. It was his journey to learn a new language and new customs in a place not his own. Likewise, those of us whom are not Alaska Natives must recognize that we are dwelling in a land apart of our own and dive into the lush ocean of languages that surround us before we can call this place our home. Currently, Alaskan legislation defines the boundaries and guidelines that control what Native Alaskans can sustain themselves with, where they can build their homes, and what they can learn in school. The so-called New World has been branded with profitable opportunity since its first introduction to European explorers. Stumbling upon Aboriginal settlers, however, presented no obstacle and inspired no moral code amid discovery of a presently claimed land. Subsequently, colonization of the 19th century orchestrated mass invasions of Europeans where they embezzled American soil by changing the label and since then have taken it upon themselves to define what it means to be an American. Alaska, likewise, has been the foster child of such broken systems, bounced back and forth between the hands not of its ancestor, but the intruder that is white culture. Alaskan legislation has maintained its obscure visage to date by dangling a white flag in the form of money and false promises. Currently, according to an Anchorage Daily News article by Erica Martinson, quote, Alaska Native children account for 55% of the state's out-of-home foster care placements, end quote, a tool in which the government sought to eliminate indigenous languages in the first place. 40 years after the establishment of the 1978 Indian Child Welfare Act, the needs of Alaskan Native children are still not being met because legislators refuse to address the underlying issues that uprooted their ancestors. The phrase my Tlingit language instructor, Robbie Littlefield, continues to reiterate, that knowledge is embedded in the language, reminds us that culture and language are deeply connected to one another. To understand concepts in history, art, and familial values, we must have an understanding of the words that built them. Historical trauma evidences a brutal misconception of Native Alaskan cultures. If we continue to ignore this devastation, how is society any different than it was prior to 1976 when we punished pride and ripped children from their mothers in exchange for English words and a boarding school education? Unlike English, indigenous languages have words that represent entire phrases and provide a meaningful emotional context. Since learning the Tlingit language, I've grown a more profound understanding and appreciation of the culture. The language has benefited other areas of my study in that it allows me to think from different perspectives and allows me to make connections in previously taught concepts. Similarly, studies have shown for decades that children who live in bilingual homes have improved cognitive, social, and emotional development. I see no evidence that suggests a negative outcome in passing this resolution, and furthermore, the need for an official apology is an understatement to say the least. I urge the House to pass the resolution. It is one step of many in the right direction. Thank you. Gunashtish, Hau'a, Direction.
Gunashtish. Any questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you again, Ms. Hartley, for your testimony. We'll next go to David Boxley. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Would you please introduce yourself for the record with your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony?
My English name is David Robert Boxley. I'm the co-chair of the Hike Foundation from Metlakatla, Alaska. We're a nonprofit whose primary goal is to save the Tsimshian language. Okay. Tomorrow Tingigit, Shigam Panana, Nikagigit, Fatni get will look to the ball, how you shagim. About Mahasti, why you? Lucky Buddy Payable. To Mahasa, they will wadku. Sporia, what in a wad with Laskiki pair. Ramas, where maybe a guinea you. Oyaksu Nana, Sabot, get a side one walk. No, I'm bored and will ask it in the Hawksku at Hassel Shawa. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kibal Mahut, means Wolf of the Sky. I'm from the Wolf Clan of Metlakatla, Alaska. My father is Skogiao, first to Potlatch, David Albert Boxley. He is of the Eagle Clan. I'm very happy to be part of this work and speaking to you today. Being Tsimshian in Southeast Alaska has come with some misunderstandings. So before I get into the crux of my testimony today, I'd like to give a little bit of background. There is a historical false narrative that Tsimshian people only entered Southeast Alaska in 1887 with William Duncan. This is not the case. The proof of that is in our place names for many areas around Southeast Alaska that are much older than our move to Alaska. Whether it's our name for Penic Island right outside of Ketchikan, Zambalos, or Hakkastak, Cape Fox over on the coast, the interior coast there, or out on the west coast of POW, like Forester Island, which we call Lahetspa. Our people have been a part of Southeast Alaska for a very long time. There's a new study involved in language learning called epigenetics that basically states that when historical trauma, something so catastrophic like the loss of land loss of one's language and identity is so powerful that it can actually damage our DNA. And that damage is passed down generation to generation. And in the early cases of the study of this, it has been proven that reacquiring one's heritage language and learning about your culture can help to heal that damage. I saw it myself in a fluent speaker who worked with us. Their health was kind of low, and once they started working, helping teach the language, it's amazing to watch them perk up and do better. Our missionary did not discourage our language. He preached to us in our language. When we moved to Alaska in 1887, we still spoke our language. When the government came to ask us how much of the island we wanted, only one of our councilmen spoke English. His name was David Leask. And when the government asked, how much of the island do you want? Our council came back finally with saying, we want the whole island. And they said to them, you don't know what to do with the whole island. And Mr. Leask said, no, we don't, but our grandchildren will. And it's that kind of thinking that I'd like to impress upon you all today and everyone who's going to be voting on this, H.R. 19, that forward thinking. We have, you know, over 100 years of damage to undo, and that begins with, at least today, with you voting yes. All the stats I'm sure will be repeated all day to you about how suicide rates drop, substance abuse drops, health improves, by learning your language and being proud of who you are. There used to be signs in Ketchikan that said no dogs or Indians allowed. It's always shocking to me that people can think that kind of trauma just, goes away. I feel that this is the state's responsibility. As I said, our language was not discouraged by our missionary, but when the U.S. government school was built in Metlakatla in the early 1900s, it then became against the rules to speak our language in our community. I've had many people my father's generation tell me that I heard my grandparents speaking it, but they would always discourage me to tell me, that's not for you. English is what you need to speak. We know now that children who are bilingual do better in school. If you are interested in improving the lives of not only First Nations children, Indigenous children in Alaska, and all children by having them also have access to our cultures and languages, then this is something that you should vote for. This is not to put blame on anyone who is currently in power for the, what I would call, crimes of the past. However, you all run the same system that did that, and you have an opportunity now to fix it. This is an emergency. There are 5 fluent speakers of my language left in my village. There are less than 100 in the entire world. All you have to do for this is say yes. We're the ones who have to spend the hours and hours of work it takes to become fluent in the language that every day is becoming harder and harder to be immersed in. All you got to do is say yes. We're the ones who have to either watch our language and therefore culture die, or save it while we still can and improve the lives of our people. And everyone. First Alaskans Institute often says, what's good for Native people is good for everyone. This comes not just, this isn't just about language, it's about stewardship of the land. Our language comes from the land. If our languages die, the voice of our land dies. I want to thank Representative Ortiz for bringing this forward. I want to thank Representative Chris Tompkins, who's been an advocate. I want to thank all of you for listening to what we have to say our language literally is what makes us who we are. And you either have the opportunity to allow or to help us to continue to be who we are, or you ignore this and contribute to the continual disappointing history of what's been done to our people. I know that sounds harsh, but it really is the truth. What happened to us was harsh. And now you can help, and I appreciate that this is even an opportunity. We are going to continue to do what we're doing either way. But I do feel it is the responsibility of the state to help our people. Thank you for listening to what I have to say today.
Any questions from members of the committee for Mr. Boxley? Well, seeing none, we'll go next to Evan Peter in Fairbanks. Are you there?
Yeah, I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Would you please introduce yourself with your name and any affiliation and proceed with your testimony?
My name is Yvonne Peter. I come from the village of Bushrangko. In English, they call it Arctic Village, but I live here in Fairbanks. University of Alaska Fairbanks. I work up at the university, but today I'm calling in as an individual citizen and as a tribal member of the Gwich'in Nation. And appreciate the opportunity to call in and just share a very few of my thoughts on this. I think you've heard other presenters before me speak to the correlation of the healing and well-being of our people and our communities as it connects to our cultural identity that is substantively rooted in our languages. I've spent many years doing work with our young people in suicide prevention and healing work and other forms of prevention. Most of the work that I was a part of was utilizing our languages and cultures, taking the young people out on the land, allowing them the opportunity to heal, connect to the land, connect to their identity, and also build healthy relationships with one another. And the language is always an integral part of that experience and that work. And over the 20 plus years that I've been doing culturally based work and engaged in it, I've seen consistent outcomes that are positive for our young people. As others before me have stated, we know that when we're able to work with our younger generation in the language, teaching our creation stories, our histories, local indigenous knowledge that's relevant to them, it's like a fire lights up inside of them, and they not only move on a path that's healthier for them in their life, but also have outcomes of increased academic achievement at the K-12 level as well as at the post-secondary level. I think that we're at a critical, not I think, I know that we're at a critical point in time right now for our languages, for our communities, and for our people. And really, I want to, similar to the last speaker, invite you to be a part of this great change that is occurring. I think that is a healing for our communities and people, and that will benefit all of Alaska. And now is that time for us to be acting both as individuals who are working to learn and teach our languages, but also those who are finding the ways that they can support us to help us to move that forward. And I believe that this transition will increase in our educational institutions from preschool all the way up to PhD, and we need to be working collaboratively and finding ways that our institutions can support to make that change happen. And so I hope that you continue to work in this direction of acknowledging, recognizing, and then acting in ways that puts the resources behind the initiatives and enacting policies that help us to move forward in this direction, and because it's on all of our best interests within the state to do that. And I want to thank you for listening to my remarks today.
Thank you, Mr. Peter. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we'll next come back to the room, and I'll remind folks here, if you would like to testify, we just need you to sign in on the sheet outside there. Dr. Ellis Taff, would you please come forward? You'll be followed by Juliana Clock, who are the only people I have on the list to testify in the room. It looks like some others have signed in. Dr. Taff, if you'd please introduce yourself with your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Alice Taff. I'm affiliated with the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the University of Alaska Southeast as affiliate faculty for Alaska Native Languages. However, I'm speaking for myself today as an individual citizen. Some individuals and cultures value personal accounts more highly than other kinds of information. Some individuals and cultures value statistics and numbers more highly than personal accounts. I'm here to comfort the numbers people today. And I want to speak specifically to the issue of the relationship between indigenous ancestral language use and physical health. Mr. Boxley touched on this earlier. Two studies in Canada looked at health issues and why there were such discrepancies among First Nations communities. The first study in British Columbia looked at the discrepancy in suicide rates in First Nations communities in British Columbia. And their finding was that youth suicide rates dropped to zero instead of extremely high suicide rates when at least half of the band members in the community reported a conversational knowledge of their own native language.
I'm sorry, Dr. Taff, I hate to interrupt you, but would you please share that study with the committee?
In what way?
Oh, you can email it to us.
Oh, I will.
Yeah,
thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you very much. Some people have said suicide is not a health issue, but I hope you will agree that, in fact, it is. So that the communities that had strong language use, and the studies looked at a variety of factors that might play a part in the low suicide versus high suicide rates. Language was the only one that stood out, the only factor that was substantial. The second study, and I have two studies, so this is the second one. The second study out of Alberta looked at diabetes. And they found that there was a 53% reduction in diabetes prevalence in those communities with where the languages were flourishing, versus those communities where the language was not in use. I won't go into the mechanisms that genetically transfer trauma and its symptoms, such as diabetes and suicide. Mr. Boxley touched on this earlier, and I'll be happy to discuss that at another time. There's no fiscal note on this resolution, but I do want to say that every dime that's spent for Alaskan language continuity, dimes spent to ensure that the languages will continue, dimes spent equal dollars spent on health. In the practice of feng shui, to call in another culture, we hear that boxes of junk that are stuck in corners prevent money from flowing into the house. When we clean up our junk, money flows into the house. And I would like to propose the metaphor that the destruction, the eradication of Alaskan languages is a box that the state of Alaska has stuck into a corner. I think it's one of the earliest boxes that the state of Alaska stuck into a corner. One of the earliest places that the federal government came to was the Pribilof Islands, 1867. The fur seal profits from the Pribilof Islands equaled within 10 years the $7 million that Seward transferred to Russia. At that time, the federal agents who came to the Pribilofs burnt everything that was written in Cyrillic, not realizing that it was not only Russian, but it was the alphabet of the Pribilof Islanders. So for 150 years from there and elsewhere in Alaska, we know that these languages have been stuck into a messy box in the corner. And with that, I will say that it's 8:30 in Dutch, and that I would like to say goedenavond klein to the committee, how Deutschen, Dogadin, Hushgadisten, Kagasakung, Chinan, Hoyana.
Are there any questions from the members of the committee? Seeing none.
Just a comment, Chair. A lot of thanks for your work on these issues through the years, and really to Yvonne, to David, and to everyone else who's testified.
At this time, we'll take a 3-minute at ease.
A 10-minute at ease?
We are coming back in at 8:33 a.m. Because we have quite a few, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 more people waiting to testify. We'll be asking you to keep your testimony brief here on out. If you can keep it to 2 minutes, that would be ideal. If, of course, you have more white hairs than dark hairs, you're welcome to speak as long as you like. And with that, we'll resume testimony.
What if you have no
hair? Well, if you have no hairs, at your discretion, I recognize that I've been indelicate given the composition of some of my colleagues. I don't see Heather Avoy in the room right now. We'll go to Juliana Clock. Are you here?
I'm here.
Do you like to come forward and testify?
I'm just going to submit it for
you. Oh, that sounds perfect. Thank you. And for anyone who's here or online, if you have more lengthy testimony, we're happy to accept it in written form. Next, I'll invite forward Paul Marx. If you'd please come forward, place your name and any affiliation on the record, and give your testimony.
Goodness, Cheech, thank you, members of the committee, co-chair Parrish. My name is Paul Marx II, representing myself. Goodness, Cheech, Yachikini, Yuhasha de Honey. You tliat ke da yus khatliat ki ya house ya house bill 19 a da yus khaywatan gi ya khatsu akhtwas gu da yus akhtani che gu gank tliat ke akha khas us khojel a da yus khatlat ki ya so khlil ko has a da yus khatlat ki ya Kunakit ik hajik adeha kauneia, yahashagunki, chesu hatu yeti, yahastu tenuku, achaya, ide how to a hook, haiti the shirk one, haiti the shirk one, ishinden yuka kaushu aya idat. You have is kauk a tethadaya kushus gug a deha hashagun kas kusti in ya a tethas awas ku a dusa has kseti a chaya ide how to a kuk ide how to a kuk a ha Ladies and gentlemen of the board, all of you that are sitting here, Parrish. Gwath kshe, you ha las kisha de hani akuk tlashat ha yuk atangi, tu wasa hatu ne iya. It is very difficult, it's a very difficult thing that we are talking about. And you heard the other day other members of the people, other members of the communities. You hear our cry. We're asking for help. And it's very difficult to see our children not knowing who they are anymore. They don't know who they are and how their ancestors lived, and they don't know the language and the things that our ancestors, how they used to live long time ago, even just a few years ago. And that is why we are asking for help. We're asking for your help because the work that we are doing isn't enough anymore. And it is in a state of emergency. I am involved in, I work with the school district, and I don't see the interest in Tlingit amongst our own people. And my brother has always stated that when the governing body shows interest in what's going on, then the children will, because then they're the ones who see it. That's what they see. That's what we're taught in school, government. And when the government is involved as well, then our children will take interest, because they don't listen as much anymore. They watch, kids watch TV. And they don't listen to our elders like they used to, and our elders would say this. And so that's why we're asking for your help in any way that you can. And so I too ask that you would vote in favor of the House Bill 19, because any little bit, as other people have stated before me, that it helps. Any little bit helps. And so these are my thoughts. This is the way that I'm feeling and thinking about this house bill. This is all that I have. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Marx? Seeing none, we'll next go to Gavin Hudson. Mr. Hudson, are you there?
I am here.
If you'd please put your name and any affiliation on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Gavin Hudson. I am chairman of the Hike Foundation in Metlakatla, Alaska. Honorable members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and to all the members of the Alaskan Legislature, I am compelled to testify to you this morning because we need the elected leadership of Alaska to admit that we have a linguistic emergency on our hands. We are losing what might be the last generation of Tsimshian fluent speakers. Tsimalgyuk, the beautiful language of the Tsimshian people, is dying. In the entire world, there are less than 100 fluent speakers of our language. In Alaska, there are only 6. Every living fluent speaker is over the age of 65, many in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, many with poor health. I've heard that some Alaskan languages could be gone within 100 years. I'm here to tell you that our language, one of the official languages of the state of Alaska, could be gone in 20 years. That, ladies and gentlemen, is within my own lifetime and within yours. We all may very well be the witnesses of the death of our last fluent speaker. If and when that day comes, what will history say about you? Did you do everything you can do to stop it? Did you even admit there was a problem? Did you at least acknowledge the emergency? In our language, we have an ancient and positive expression, Sha'am Shwan. It means make good what you do and make your name good. Our names, the quality of them, is determined by our actions. Did we behave with integrity and compassion? Did we answer the call to serve? Do we hold others up when they need our support? No one can save a language on their own, but languages can be saved if we do it together. Whether you are indigenous or not, we are all in the same canoe, and we have to pull together. We need you, all of you, to help us. I'm asking for your support in the effort to save the Tsimshian language. I'm asking you to vote yes in declaring a linguistic emergency. We have all sworn oaths to do what is best for our peoples, and I am telling you, having living and vibrant indigenous languages is what is best for our state. Learning our grandparents' language and then passing it down to our grandchildren is an act of overcoming colonialism and historical trauma. Bilingual children do better in math, science, reading, art, and music. As Mr. Boxley and Dr. Alice Taff have both testified, when an indigenous language is healthy, rates of suicide and drug abuse drop significantly. So this is not just a matter of health, but literally of life and death. At a time of division and animosity, we can decide to move forward together toward the beautiful and noble goal of saving our mother tongues. We Tsimshian have another ancient and positive expression, Waiwa. Waiwa means let's go. So I say to you today, Waiwa, because this is an emergency and we have no time to waste. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Hudson? Seeing none. We'll next go to Hattie Keller, followed by David Neese. Ms. Keller, are you...
My name is Hattie Keller from CORE, and I'm the CORE Inupiaq Director. Uvaloatak Atigai Vilak Sitnasakmugu Shwanga Aliaka Kiriktakmuguru Suli Kingiktakmuguru. Good morning. My Inupiaq name is Yvilik. I'm from Nome. My family's from Shishmaref and Wells. And I would like to start off with a short excerpt from an elder from Shishmaref, Nor Kusaguk. I was born in Shishmaref in 1947, just after the war finished. My Inupiaq name is Kayanazuk. Kayak, the first part of her Inupiaq name. means smoke. I lived here all my life. I went to school here, and it was good. I don't know how the teachers let us learn. We didn't understand her, but she wrote things on the board and repeated herself over and over again while pointing to the words, so we eventually picked up English. She never let us speak Inupiaq. Other teachers punished us for speaking Inupiaq. They would hit you with a ruler on your palm or put you in timeout. I spoke Inupiaq at home with my parents. My dad, Bern Etuk, spoke English and Inupiaq. My mom was Helen Olana. Once in a while, I hear others speaking the old Inupiaq dialect. My generation never used it, so the language our elders had went away. That dialect was a real fine description of things. And that was a quote from Nora Kuzukuk from Shishmaref. And subsequently, from the colonization, there are 13.6% of Inupiaq speakers, which is a stark comparison to 71% of St. Lawrence Island Yupik speakers and 41.6% Central Yupik speakers today. The majority of our 13.6% of Inupiaq speakers are elders who are dying with our language as time goes on. Studies have shown without our language, culture, and traditions, we are seeing a high rate of suicides, alcoholism, reviticism, and low rates of attendance. So let's make a key change for our future generations and healing together. With that being said, this is an emergency, and I urge the House to pass the House Committee Resolution 19. This next step in healing is for our future generations, and Quiana House Representative Ortiz for bringing up HCR 19, and Quiana for your time and for this opportunity today. Quiana Netbuck.
Quiana, Ms. Keller, are there any questions from the members of the committee? Seeing none, we'll go to David Neese. Mr. Neese, are you there?
Yes, I am. David Neese speaking for myself. As a teacher since the 1970s in Anchorage, I'm functionally illiterate in almost every Alaska Native language, as were most of my fellow teachers. It is indeed a native language emergency, and Mr. Sadler has an excellent amendment in there basically saying, you know, that we need to continue it. But one of the things that's missing and you might want to look at later on is that you don't have any provisions in an education system to give a license of a mastery in a native language to somebody so they can teach it in the school. So all your Indian education tutors that I worked with, some could speak their native language. Some could speak the native language of their home, but they didn't have any of those students in their classroom. The Alaska Cultural Native Charter School in Anchorage immerses everybody in every language. So one of the problems that you have going on here is if you have a localized language emergency, like in Southeast, there needs to be provisions in the school system to make sure that the children that are from that culture have an exposure to it while they are inside the school system. So, yes, you have a language emergency. It's not our fault that the Russians showed up. It's not our fault the Spanish and the English showed up and settled the country. It's not our fault that Seward bought it from the Russian. It's not our fault that there was a segregated education system in Alaska for a long time, because that's the way it was. It is our fault that we haven't decided that this is an emergency and we haven't applied resources. So the resolution is a good resolution, but you need to look at what are you going to do after you say there's an emergency. Are you going to give it to the governor to come up with a policy? Are you going to give it to the State Department of Education to come up with a policy? Or are you going to let communities in Alaska decide that our language is important enough that we're going to have master speakers in our classrooms at schools immersing people in the language? And I think that's probably the best system to do. So any barrier you have between master speakers and passing that knowledge on through your public education system is a barrier that needs to be taken a look at. Thank you for your time testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Neese. Are there any questions for Mr. Neese? I see one from Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And I'm not quite sure if this is going to be a question or a statement, but I think what Mr. Neese is getting to is the next step. This resolution in and of itself is an incremental step, but of itself it accomplishes very little. What it implies, and it sets the groundwork for future steps, and I think Mr. Neese has gone to a heart of the issue. This has implications for how instruction would happen in the future, which is, to my mind, the next step in the dialogue on this issue. So how actually to preserve native languages is a very, very important and builds on the foundation of this resolution, but this resolution itself does not speak or should not speak, in my opinion, to how to achieve the end. And he has an interesting suggestion, and I hope to see that brought forward.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Are there any further questions? Seeing none, we'll go to Alan Hayton and then Lacey Wilson. Mr. Hayton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
If you'd please introduce yourself, put your name and affiliation on the record, and then proceed with your testimony.
Van Grinzi, Sojit Editon, Vashenkovitz, and Izuka, Isoldagotondik, Evat, Jukwenta, Doyan Foundation, as you could choose questions, Alaska Naka, Doyan Naka Kuzik, Zuk, Kwe, Jitlakin, Gua, good questions, Kutsarehenja, and Jutqueen. Good morning, my name is Alan Hayton. My Athabaskan name is Ditton. I grew up in Arctic Village. I currently work at the Doyon Foundation and as a language revitalization program director. I've been in this position since 2015. Prior to my hire, there was another director, Melinda Chase, who was hired in 2013. This program has been 6 years now, and there's 10 languages in our region that we're looking to assist. All of those 10 languages are endangered. There's Benti Kanaga, Lower Tanana, Dihikot, Inandik, Kanakras, Tanake, Upper Kuskum, Dijuk, Guchen, Dekinog, Tanaka, Koyakan, Han, Halkachuk, Inupiak, and Nianigan, Upper Tanana. Some of these languages, Benti Kanaga, maybe down to its last speaker, Sarah Silas, who's an elder in her 90s from Minto. Majority of these languages, you can know pretty much all of the speakers by first name only. It's getting to that point where the number of speakers is really declining, and I would consider that an emergency. And similar to much of the testimony I've heard today and on Tuesday, there's a long historical path that has led to this situation with our languages, our cultures. It has been due to official policies of the past that has created this emergency. And I just wanted to call in and support this House Resolution 19 to declare an emergency. And any and all support is greatly appreciated. You know, there's a great need out there and many benefits to supporting our languages for future generations. The current generation of students, there's some schools in our region that are teaching the language. Tanana Cross just hired a teacher in this last year. Liz Webb. I don't know who previously had been teaching, and it probably had been a long time since it was officially taught in the school. Guchen, there's a teacher in Chalkitsuk, and Vinitai, and Beaver. But I don't know if there are teachers in Arctic Village or Fort Yukon, other communities in that school district. For the Yukon-Koyukuk School District, there's one teacher serving 10 communities, Susan Pascan. She teaches via video conference, and she also teaches Lower Tanana, which is another language in the community of Minto. She single-handedly teaching this entire region the language. She also travels out to the communities throughout the school year. I don't know if any other languages in our region have a teacher in their school, Han in Eagle, I don't believe.
Mr. Hayton?
Excuse me?
If you'd please wrap up your testimony.
Well, I just wanted to call in and support this House resolution urging that it be voted on and passed on to the governor.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions for Mr. Hayton? Seeing none, we'll move to Lacey Wilson. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Would you please introduce yourself by placing your name and any affiliation on the record, and then proceed with your testimony.
My name is Lacey Wilson. I am here today representing myself. I'm from Metlakatla, Alaska. I'd like to say good morning to the members of the committee, and thank you for hearing our testimony.
Please proceed.
Today I'd like to speak towards language-based marginalization taking place today in the history of our people. Language is our identity in that it impacts how we understand our relationship to the world, the structure of our society, and our ability to see the possibility of the future. Without our original indigenous language, our people cannot relate themselves to the world and to our people in a healthy way. As in the case of nurturing children and also in the case of nurturing ourselves, neglect is tantamount to murder by inaction, and it is paramount that we take action today to try to save our languages. The loss of our language is directly impacted by our people being marginalized by English-speaking society and colonial law. We are marginalized in that this society, we are allotted limited resources to address our societal struggles, such as poverty, substance abuse, and domestic violence. This has left little or no resources for language revitalization in many of our communities. Having to put our language on the back burner for so long has resulted in its waning status as an important component to the health of our people. Our language is the root of our identity. It is a part of the land where we grow. Losing it from this land is like losing oxygen from our soil. It causes a structure of toxicity where nothing will grow. We cannot hope to grow and to be a healthy people if we lose our language. I'm calling today to ask the members of the committee to please vote in recognizing the linguistic emergency already taking place in Alaska so that we may hope to have the resources allocated to bring back the roots of our identity. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Are there any questions for Ms. Wilson from the members of the committee? Seeing none. Thank you again. Ms. Avoy seems to have left. I hope that we'll be able to receive her testimony in written form. We also have Liz Medicine Crow from First Alaskan Institute on the line for questions. Are there any questions for Ms. Medicine Crow this time? Seeing none, I will now close public testimony. Actually, I'm reopening it. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify? Seeing none, it is now actually closed.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted, when you opened public testimony, you said you're going to be hearing from a number of folks who were invited testimony. My question is, do you know how many of the folks who testified on this resolution were in fact invited and who others just came to the committee organically?
Yes, I have that record. You can ask the bill sponsor, of course, for a full accounting.
Could I ask Mr. Representative Ortiz to come to the...
I would have to...
Yes, please come forward, Representative. Prior script. I see on the list of invited testifiers Annette Evans-Smith, Hune Lance Twitchell, Yayuk Bernadette Alvana Stimpf, and Elizabeth Medicine Crow. Am I forgetting anyone from the invited testimony?
Through the chair, I'm going to defer to my staff, Jody Gatti.
If you'd please place your name and affiliation on the record.
Thank you. For the record, Jody Gatti, staff to Representative Ortiz. That's correct. We only had four invited testifiers yesterday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Representative Ortiz.
All right. With that, we will consider amendments. Are there any amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would move Amendment 30LS1402/uniform.1.
Let it hereafter be known as Amendment Number 1. Dot U2 will be known as 2. U3 will be known as Amendment 3. U4 will be known as Amendment Number 4. And unfortunately, the remaining amendment was received after the deadline, and so it's not been available to the public.
Sure, we can accommodate that. I appreciate the that's a great symmetry. Thank you. I move Amendment 1.
Check for discussion.
Thank you. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this amendment, for those who might not have it, inserts on page 2, line 12, after the word learning, it inserts the words, whereas language is an important element of culture, comma, and the use of Alaska Native languages can strengthen Alaska Native culture in a mutually reinforcing cycle, semicolon. And I think it's important to make the point that the goal of this effort is not necessarily Alaska language per se, but as an integral element of Alaska Native culture. And in a resolution such as this, the whereas clauses lay out the situation or the conditions or the problem or issue or the principles that justify or compel the need for the result, the action clauses. And I heard from a number of the people, both invited and organically coming to us, how important Alaska Native culture is to the people who are members of the culture, to the greater Alaska community, and frankly to the global community of peoples, and how important language is to culture. I didn't see explicit language in this resolution that linked language and culture and felt that this needed to be stated explicitly. In my opinion, and I think I developed this in my questions and discussion at the previous meeting, language and culture are mutually reinforcing. The more people use a language, and I respect and admire and encourage people to use Alaska Native language in their everyday lives, and even in public testimony, it reinforces it and gives credence and prominence and integrity to the culture. I just felt it needed to be stated explicitly in this resolution, so that's why I add this whereas clause and ask for members' support for Amendment 1.
Thank you. This time I'd like to invite forward the bill's sponsor and his staff, and I would like your opinions on it.
Thank you. Through the chair, I appreciate the representative for looking at this resolution and giving it some review and some suggestions, and we would be in support of this First Amendment.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on this amendment?
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Without further amendment, further objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sadler.
I move Amendment Number 2.
Object for discussion.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And here's the result that implies. We heard Mr. Hudson say a few moments ago that this resolution would be an act of helping to repair intergenerational trauma, using Alaska Native language is a way of healing and perpetuating and continuating the culture. And as I said, the effort to preserve a language can be helpful or hindered by government, and government often has a heavy hand and is better at destroying than supporting. So I would not place my faith and hope solely in government action to maintain and sustain and perpetuate a language. We had Mr. Stepton yesterday, who brought his three darling children to us, and he spoke in support of the resolution. And I made the point to him, both in public and in private, that this effort and this battle will truly be won at the family and intergenerational level. If Alaskan Natives speak their languages among themselves, if they pass that on to their progeny, who can then in turn pass it on, that is the ultimate guarantor of the health of the culture and the language. You know, government can do certain things, and we can try to atone or to repair the damage that government has done with its heavy-handedness. But government cannot do for a language and culture anywhere near as well what they can do for themselves. It's clear to me, as a student of language and as an observer of the process, that the effort to sustain a language or culture is most effective, not only effective, but most effective, if the people of that culture use the language, teach it to their children, use it among themselves, and make sure that even adults can have the chance to learn. And I just have to express my admiration, not just for the effort to educate young Alaskan Natives, but the idea for someone in their 30s, 40s, or 50s. You know, we can still learn. It's harder. Science says that learning languages at a later age is harder, but it is still done. So I especially respect the gentlemen who are no longer of school age, like ourselves, who are taking the effort to teach and to learn and practice this language. So I thought it was important, and yes, it may sound obvious, but the whereas clauses are often where we lay out the obvious. I think it's important to note that the actual employment of language by Alaskan Natives is an important part of this, and the government cannot do it all itself. And again, ask your support for Amendment 2, and would certainly like to hear from the bill sponsor in this.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and through the Chair. I do not disagree with the statements of the representative in relationship to this particular amendment. However, this amendment does change the nature of the resolution itself. It's a directive language that instructs or suggests an action towards a group of people should take. I'm not in opposition that they would choose to take that, but in the nature of the resolution, I don't know that it fits in terms of making a statement of suggestion of an action. The resolution, I would agree with the sponsor that, you know, the government cannot be looked at as the solution, but that's not what the resolution is calling for. It's not calling for the government to be the solution to the issue. It's just asking the government to recognize a state of emergency on the issue. So I would be in opposition to this particular amendment.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Is there any further discussion? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to Representative Parrish, Representative Ortiz, pardon me, sir. Actually, on page 2, the resolve clause, the first resolve clause, which is where the action, as Commissioner Davidson, where the boardwalk meets the tundra, this specifically does call on state agencies to work actively with the legislature and Native organizations. And the second resolve clause calls on the legislature and the governor in cooperation to work with Alaska Native organizations to initiate and strengthen as appropriate legislative and policy measures. So it explicitly does call for action by government. And again, because I believe that government has a role to play, it should not be the sole role. The title of the bill, or the resolution, however, says there is a linguistic emergency. It does not say a linguistic emergency solely addressing government solutions. I think if we are truly interested in results and solutions, as opposed to a specific government-only approach, it's certainly appropriate to include what we know are effective and long-lasting solutions to the issue that has given rise to this linguistic emergency. And I would, again, respectfully, I hope members can support the amendment.
Representative Ortiz.
Through the chair, briefities.
Briefities.
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, staffer Jody Gatti would like to respond, if she may. Thank you.
Ms. Gatti.
Thank you. For the record, Jody Gatti, staff to Representative Ortiz. Speaking to this amendment, we believe it doesn't fit in the resolution specifically because it addresses a specific race as opposed to what we're calling for is action from organizations and government to align state policies to advance languages. So we're not speaking here in this resolution about race. We're speaking about languages, and that's why we oppose this amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Scotty. And wrap up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't wish to argue, but I will just simply point that the title is Recognizing a Linguistic Emergency, but every mention in the whereas clauses and the resolve clauses specifically references either Alaskan Native languages in general or specific Alaskan Native languages. So, and we heard, I think, fairly compellingly through the testimony over these 2 days that the language and the culture and the racial are all inextricably mutually interdependent. So I think you can't separate out the ethnic and cultural element from the language culture element. And again, my point, I guess I'll repeat, is if the goal is to ensure the survival of language, then we should be willing to support efforts at whatever method is most appropriate and effective at perpetuating those languages, not merely government action.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to, provide a different perspective than the last speaker on, you know, there is a difference between an Alaska Native language and culture than some race-based, you know, Alaska Native person. And in my region, you know, some of the most celebrated and beloved members of our community and even our tribe were not Alaska Native in blood quantum at all. There are people that, you know, moved in and fully integrated into the region, practice a lifestyle. They're, you know, amazing hunters and providers, and learn the language. So I pretty strongly object to the idea that these things are fully intertwined with race. It's way beyond that. And I just want to point that out. Thank you.
With that, Representative Drummond, is your objection maintained?
I object. I maintain my objection.
Will the clerk please call the roll?
Can I speak?
Pardon me. Void the roll, please. Representative Rusher.
Can I just speak before we vote?
Of course.
I appreciate that. I don't think I'm versed enough to vote on this to understand why or why not this may not be a good amendment, and I apologize to anybody that
if you have any specific question, we'll be certainly happy to try to get an answer for you.
I guess I don't understand the argument, and I'm feeling no matter how I vote, I can't win because I don't understand why this or why not. As it's written, it seems to logically a good idea, but I don't understand the argument on why it's not. And I just wanted a chance to be able to say that because I'm supposed to vote on something that seems logical, mm-hmm. and I don't understand why it's not. And I just wanted a chance to say that.
Certainly. Representative Drummond, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I do. I think this amendment is simply stating the obvious. Almost everyone that has testified on this issue, we can see how hard they are working to reinstate the language, to revive the language in their own families, in their own communities, and to tell them that we're encouraging them is simply patting them on the heads and saying, now, you know that this is how to do it. They clearly know how to do it. And I don't think we white people have any right to tell them how to do it. Coming from a bilingual family myself, my family knew from the get-go how to do this. The issue here, and if you haven't gotten this from the couple of days of testimony we've had on this, is that entire generations' mouths were washed out in soap or other chemicals and told not to speak their languages. When you lose the native speakers of your language, you cannot simply start speaking to your children in your native language. This takes a whole lot more support and encouragement, and I appreciate the thought behind the amendment, but I cannot support it because I know that our Alaska Native people know exactly what needs to be done. They're simply looking for our support and encouragement. And in fact, I would like to see, well, it's not related to this amendment, but I object to this amendment, and I will be voting no.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Drummond, nobody's patting anybody on the head here. This resolution specifically states out the call of this committee and ultimately the legislature on some specific actions, telling the governor and telling government agencies and Alaska Native organizations what they should do to preserve, for the ultimate goal here, which is to preserve Alaska culture and language. So the resolution by its nature is offering solutions and telling people what to do. And I would also say that my amendment adds to, it does not exclusively say that the solution to Alaska's linguistic emergency is government action. Clearly, this resolution has statements that say government should do this, government should do that. This adds to but does not take away and does not exclude those steps. This simply says the obvious. As I said, whereas clauses are where you put what is obvious. We are laying out what is obvious based on the testimony that there is a linguistic emergency, that Alaska is in danger of losing Alaska Native languages, and I think it's, I'm not sure why there's resistance to the obvious that encouragement of Alaska Natives to speak and practice and pass on their language is antithetical to the ultimate goal of this resolution. And if the objection continues, I could water the amendment down to a point where I hope it would be more acceptable, but and I will ask the sponsor who has weighed in saying he would oppose this, would it make any difference, sir, if we were to say on amendment number 2, page 1 of amendment 2, line 4, to delete the word natives such that it read, for the resolve, the Alaska State Legislature encourages or Alaskans to support Alaska Native culture. Would that make a difference? I would ask the sponsor.
Representative Ortiz, would you or your staff like to respond?
If I may.
Please.
For the record, Jody Gatti, staff to Representative Ortiz. We appreciate the spirit behind this amendment, and we do appreciate your thought you put behind changing the amendment. To speak to the All Alaskans issue, adding All Alaskans instead of Alaska Natives, this puts the burden on everyone in the state rather than one particular group of people, and we would be in support of that.
I've got find myself in the peculiar place of asking a question. It hasn't been my observation that resolutions exhort non-governmental agencies or non-organizations to action as a general rule. However, I am still a freshman. Perhaps some of my colleagues have seen other resolutions which have urged members of the general public to a particular course of action. Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, Chairman Parrish. I appreciate you letting me ask you another question before the Representative Ortiz answers our questions. So he only has to speak a few times instead of each time. So I guess page 2, line 10, in the whereas, it just seems like that is stating what Representative Sadler is stating, but I don't know. And I guess I would, I just want that addressed also for my understanding, if you would. Thank you. I just thought I'd give you that opportunity also while you're answering questions here.
There is another amendment number 4, which will touch more directly upon that clause. However, Representative Ortiz, if you would like to answer at this time, you're welcome to.
So, in through the chair, okay, I think I got it. I was going down one track here, and then that question caused me to think, okay, I got to address this other issue. In response, through the chair, Representative Rauscher, in response, I think that particular line, rather than being, quote, instructive or directive towards a group of people, in this case indigenous peoples, it's in recognition of where in the past indigenous peoples have been prevented from pursuing that. So it's in recognition to that as opposed to instructing them to take a particular action. It's in recognition of, as you heard in past testimony, of where indigenous peoples have been prevented to the ability to provide education to the people in their own languages through the schools and through other government supported structures. So does that make sense? That's why there's a difference there with that particular line, because I think you're saying that this is an example of an instructive kind of directive, but it's not really. It's in response to what's happened historically where they've been prevented to pursue that, and that's the difference. However, now with that said, as we're speaking to this particular amendment, Jody has stated our support that we would be unopposed to this particular amendment if, in fact, you would replace, as the representative suggested, you refer to, said all Alaskans, encourages all Alaskans to support Alaskan Native culture by learning, teaching. We'd be fine with that.
Thank you. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. A couple points. First, to the chairman's question, resolutions often call on people other than governmental organizations to do this or that. We often call on all Alaskans to embrace, to support practice or to do this. We call on the people of the United States to do this, to call their representatives to support opening anywhere, for example. So there is no new precedent, or this breaks no precedent for a resolution to call on people other than government. Second, to the question from my colleague to the left here, on line 10, this resolution specifically says that indigenous people should be able to provide education. So I would say that this resolution does call on people, not a government organization, to do this and such, this or that. So I see this amendment number 2 as having no inconsistency with other elements of the resolution. So if that principle were to hold, we should also delete lines 10 through 12, if that is indeed your principle on this, if this should solely be directed at government. And third, I still say that if, as we heard in testimony, the goal of this resolution is to support Alaska Native languages, I confess I simply don't understand why there should be any objection to a resolve clause that calls on everybody, including, not excluding, but including Alaska Natives themselves, to support culture by learning and passing on. I simply don't understand the objection to that. If I have to water it down to get it through, I'm certainly willing to do that, but I still really don't understand the basis of the objection.
Representative Ortiz.
Through the chair. Representative Sather, excuse me. I wouldn't refer it as watering it down. I would reference it by saying, if you would go to the term all Alaskans, that would take the specificity directed towards Alaskan Natives, that they should take a specific action and direct, as you say, in past resolutions, et cetera, and take it to the broader level of all Alaskans as opposed to specifying a particular group of Alaskans. And later on when you refer to some other areas, again, those are examples where the resolution is calling out, it's bringing reference to places where Alaskan Native cultures in the past, and you've heard about this in the testimony, where they have been prevented from putting forward these particular actions. And so that's the difference.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Representative Sadler.
I offer conceptual amendment 1 to amendment 2. This would be to, on page 1, line 3 of the amendment, to delete the word the words Alaska Natives and to insert the word Alaskans. Second element of that conceptual amendment is on page 2, line 10. I'm sorry, still on page 1 of the amendment, would be to delete, and on page 2, line 10, delete the word indigenous.
To restate the amendment, it would be to, on the on amendment number 2, page 1, lines 3 and 4, delete the words Alaskan Natives and replace them with the word Alaskans. And on
just through the chair, just if, would you, would as Fran Lanis, this is a suggestion, would you be amenable to all Alaskans?
That's a conceptual amendment, so I would let the drafters decide if Alaskans implies all Alaskans. I think it would, but certainly. Okay, so I will.
I'm objecting to the conceptual amendment. And
Mr. Chair, he was still in the middle of stating the full, I think for the record it's important to get the, pardon me, Representative Drummond, he was in the middle of stating the entire conceptual amendment, so I want to make sure and get that all out.
Representative Sadler, I appreciate you defending my prerogatives, good, even if you didn't wait to be recognized to do so.
Fair enough.
So to restate, with the modification from Representative Ortiz, the amendment would be modified to read, further resolve that the Alaska State Legislature encourages all Alaskans to support Alaska Native culture by learning, teaching, and practicing Alaska Native languages in daily life and affairs, and be it. And then another section would be added, page 2, line 10, deleting the word indigenous. Is that an accurate restatement, Representative Sadler?
Mr. Chairman, it is.
Thank you. And we
object.
And we have an objection.
Brief it is, too, if we may.
Brief it is. Representative Ortiz.
Speaking to the next area where the representative is suggesting to amend language, we would be opposed to dropping the reference to indigenous.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Drummond, would you like to speak to your objection?
Absolutely. We went through this in another committee the other day. This is a misplaced modifier in which we are encouraging all Alaskans to learn, teach, and practice Alaska Native languages. I think we need to leave this to the drafters, and I still object to the spirit of this amendment. So I am not only objecting to the amendment to the amendment, but I'm objecting to the amendment as a whole once we get it amended, if we ever get there.
The first thing to deal with is the amendment to the amendment. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to the amendment to the amendment?
Thank you. Speaking to the amendment to amendment, that being conceptual amendment 1 to amendment 2, I think that there's a necessity for consistency. We did hear from a number of people testifying that, and I asked this question of Ms. Medicine Croix and others off the record, whether it was beneficial to Alaska Natives and Alaska Native culture for non-Alaska Natives to speak, use, and pass on Alaska Native language. And the answer I got back was a clear and emphatic yes. For tourists, for other people to speak of the Zantakahini School, of the Denaina Center, to speak of all the native languages and place names, which are frankly the easiest place for us to speak of, that did indeed benefit and perpetuate the Alaska Native languages. So the idea that we should limit our support of Alaska Native language utilization only to Alaska Natives is, to me, inappropriate and counterproductive. And when I speak of consistency and inconsistency, if we're going to not allow, if the members of the committee are not willing to support an encouragement of Alaska Natives to support their own culture by learning, speaking, and practicing, and if we want to make it just Alaskans, which is the sponsor's position, he supports that, then to be consistent, there should be no limitation on the ability of people to provide education in their own language. It should not be limited to indigenous people. It should be all peoples. So in the spirit of consistency, if you're going to support amendment, if you're going to oppose Amendment 1, you must support conceptual Amendment 1. I'm sorry, if you're going to support Amendment 2, you need to support conceptual Amendment 2. One, two, no. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. It does get into the weeds here, so I'll restate that. If you're going to support the amendment to Amendment 2 to encourage all Alaskans, then I think of necessity you have to support the conceptual amendment, which would call on all people to be able to provide education in their people's own language.
Representative Ortiz.
Through the chair, in full respect to Representative Sandler's comments, and at face value, I understand what you're saying. However, if you were to remove on line 10 indigenous peoples, you're starting to greatly, or indigenous, you're starting to dilute the whole purpose of the resolution itself. There's not been a problem, in my understanding, there's not been an issue for English peoples being able to provide English education in their own languages in the state of Alaska. There's not been a problem in relationship to that. However, there has been a problem for indigenous peoples to be able to provide education in their languages, and that's the purpose of this particular whole resolution. So I would say that if you were to drop the word indigenous, you would be greatly diluting the whole purpose of the resolution itself. So that's why I would be opposed to it.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, Chairman Parrish. I appreciate it if so the amendment to the amendment installs that all Alaskans, but it also includes that this indigenous people. So you have to fail both. Is that my understanding?
That's correct.
And I find that as I wish it wasn't so. But so I guess I would have to vote no on the second part, which cancels out the first part also for me. I guess that would just be my statement on my position there.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, brief at ease. Three, two, one.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sadler.
I call the previous question.
All right. So, Representative Drummond, is your objection maintained?
Yes, sir.
Would the secretary please call the roll?
I need an at ease. My computer is frozen. I'm sorry.
Brief at ease. We are back at order, in order, considering amendment number 1 to amendment number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Rowland, would you please call the roll?
Representative Lincoln.
No.
Representative Drummond.
No.
Representative Christ Tompkins, not present. Representative Tallarico, not present. Representative Rauscher.
No.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Co-chair Parrish.
No.
One yay, four nay.
With a vote of one yay, four nay, Amendment number one to amendment number two has failed to pass. It brings back before us amendment number two. Is there any further discussion, or are we prepared for the vote? Representative Drummond, I believe yours was the objection. Is your...
I'm sorry.
Representative Rauscher has another comment. Representative Rauscher.
At this time, would I be able to move a friendly amendment that would only include all Alaskans instead of Alaska Natives?
Representative Rauscher, yes, you would be able to offer conceptual amendment number two to amendment number two to replace the words Alaska Natives on line three and four with the words all Alaskans.
That way I could vote for this amendment is my statement.
All right. Would you like to restate the amendment? Amendment number two.
At this time, I'd like to move a conceptual amendment to strike the words in line two of amendment two, Alaska Natives, and replace that with the words all Alaskans. There you go. Mm-hmm.
For clarity, that is in lines three and four, striking the words Alaska Natives and replacing with the words all Alaskans.
You're right. I apologize. Three and four.
Quite all right. Representative Drummond, would you like to speak to your objection?
It's not good English. This is encouraging all Alaskans to learn, teach, and practice Alaska Native languages. And as much as I love the spirit of this entire resolution, this is about supporting Alaska's indigenous peoples to in their emergency effort to save their languages, and letting the rest of us get in the way of their teaching their own kids and saving what they can of their elders is not necessary. Therefore, I object.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Rauscher.
At this time, I would like to withdraw my motion.
The motion has been withdrawn. That brings back before us amendment number two. Is there any further discussion on amendment number two? Seeing none at this time, Representative Drummond, is your objection maintained?
Yes.
To be clear, we have...
Actually, I'm sorry. He's withdrawn it, so my objection is therefore withdrawn.
Your objection to amendment number two, unamended, reading, further resolved that the Alaska State Legislature encourages Alaska Natives to support Alaska Native culture by learning, teaching, and practicing Alaska Native languages in daily life and affairs, and be it. Are there...
Wait. I still object to the amendment as originally put in front of us, and I believe that with Representative Rauscher's withdrawing his amendment to the amendment, the amendment as originally presented still stands, and I still object.
That's correct. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the amendment as originally proposed?
Mr. Chairman, I call the question.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Would the clerk please call the roll?
At ease, Mr. Chairman.
Brief at ease. Ms. Rowland, would you please call the roll on amendment number two?
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Representative Lincoln.
No.
Representative Drummond.
No.
Representative Christ Tompkins, not present. Representative Tallarico, not present. Representative Rauscher.
Pass.
can't pass until the end?
We're at the end.
Yes. That's fine.
Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Co-Chair Parrish?
No.
Two yea, three nay.
At a vote of two yea, three nay, amendment number two has failed to pass. We'll now move to amendment number three. I'll object for the purposes of discussion. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do offer and move amendment three.
Brief at ease.
Chairman, I move. Mr. Chairman, I move amendment three.
Thank you.
Can you restate that, please?
Would you, Chairman, please restate your amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment three, that being amendment titled 30LS1402/uniform.3. I move amendment three.
Thank you. I'll object for the purposes of discussion. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The dictionary definition, the denotation of prioritize, it connotes ranking, or it connotes ranking and a hierarchy of putting some things above or below others. That's to prioritize, putting things in priority. I heard no one during our testimony say that they thought that any one language or culture is better than any others or should rank higher or lower than others. I did hear several people testify and say that there should be parity and equality. To my mind, Mr. Chair, to emphasize clearly expresses the importance of the survival of continued use of Alaska Native language. And in speaking with Ms. Medicine Crow, who's the president of the First Alaskan Institute, we discussed this at length yesterday. I think that this amendment, along with another one that I hope to introduce at the end as a conceptual amendment, would fulfill a together. Both clearly expressed the need for an emphasis on Alaskan Native language, and another amendment will speak to and address the urgency and timely factor. So again, I want to respect and reflect that no one language or culture is above one another and should not be prioritized, but instead Alaskan Native language should be emphasized. Again, this does not say that there should not be strong efforts to support Alaska Native language and culture as the resolve clauses require. It simply says that they should not be prioritized over others. I believe this reflects the spirit of the overall resolution, and I think it strengthens it, frankly.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. I see Representative Drummond and the bill sponsor both have comments to make.
I'll let the bill sponsor.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz, would you or your staff like to make a comment?
We would. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will first defer to staff member Jody Gaddy.
Ms. Gaddy.
Thank you. For the record, Jody Gaddy, staff to Representative Ortiz. We put this language in here specifically as a phrase, prioritizing the survival and continued use of Alaska Native languages as opposed to how it was not a priority in prior years. To speak to your comment, Representative Sadler, the level to which we celebrate and strengthen and support Alaska's co-official languages does not diminish other languages as a whole. However, the loss of a language diminishes all of us.
Thank you, Ms. Gaddy. Representative Drummond, then Representative Sadler.
I actually have a friendly amendment, if the maker of the amendment would consider it.
Feel free to state your amendment.
Instead of delete line two of the amendment and insert and emphasize after the word prioritize on line 19.
To restate the amendment, it would be to delete line 2 of Amendment 3 and to insert the words on line 2 of Amendment 3. Following the word prioritize, insert the word and. And we'd still have line 3 of Amendment 3, insert emphasize.
Yes.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. We're now on Amendment 1 to Amendment 3. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. God help me, I was an English major. To prioritize, again, is to establish, it explicitly describes ordination. It puts one thing in rank or order above another. And if something is in the top rank of order, it is obviously being emphasized. It is the top priority. It's like you can't be, two things can't be unique. They're either unique or they're not unique. Something cannot be a priority and be a lesser priority. If it is the priority, it is the most important priority. The language of the amendment, the language of the resolution as we say right now says that the legislature, in cooperation with Native organizations, should initiate and strengthen legislative and policy measures that prioritize survival language. That could imply prioritize over economic development, over public safety, over public health issues. Priority means that is the most important thing. Nothing else is as important, and nothing else should get attention before that element. I don't believe that that's the intent of the resolution. I think the important the resolution is to emphasize, and I took notes here. Ms. Dibdahl said we're not asking for prioritization, but equal access. Nancy Barnes said she could or would not say that prioritize was the right word. She said we could do some wordsmithing, perhaps emphasize instead of prioritize. And Ms. Getty said she agreed that this resolution does not seek to prioritize the last native languages. I certainly think that the word emphasize carries with it the implication there's something needs to be done, but it does not have the implication that the word prioritize brings that nothing else should be done at all until this is done.
I'd like to note for the record that we've been joined by Representative Millett. Shall I infer then that you do not take Representative Drummond's amendment as a friendly amendment?
The Chairman, I would echo her words to say it's not really good English.
Representative Drummond, and then Representative Lincoln.
Then I will withdraw my amendment and leave the amendment as amendment number 3 as originally proposed, and then I'll speak to my objection.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Lincoln.
I guess I have a different understanding of the word priority, and the way that I think about it, it's really, you know, you have a set of, you know, possible actions or tasks, for example, how you prioritize something is a function of not just its importance, but also its urgency. You know, if you have 2 phone calls to make and one's to your mom, that's really, really important. But another is to your insurance company or something, you have a limited amount of time that you can make that first call. You're gonna prioritize that first call, even though it's much less important to you. You have a limited window of opportunity to take that action. And that's the way that I read the word prioritize in this context. It's, you know, I don't think anyone is arguing that Alaska Native languages are more, you know, valuable or than other languages, but Alaska Native languages are, you know, got their backs against the wall right now, and I think it makes sense to prioritize the, you know, supporting them in this really critical window that we have to ensure their survival. But I hear what you're saying, and I agree to a large extent, but I don't understand the word prioritize the same way that you do, and I don't have the same sort of issues with it.
Thank you, Representative Lincoln. I see Representative Drummond and Representative Rusher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This resolution is the principal language in here recognizes a linguistic emergency. And the amendment seeks to remove the word prioritize and replace it with emphasize. We're not talking about prioritizing the survival and continued use of German, Greek, Japanese, or Russian. We are talking about the survival and continued use of Alaska Native languages. And period, end of story.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, through the chair, I just have a question. Did the Representative Drummond have a motion, an amendment for this amendment yet, or was that just a...
It was withdrawn.
No, I simply...
It was withdrawn.
I'm objecting to the amendment as originally written.
That's all I wanted clarification on. Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, and through the chair, in reference to all the previous comments that have been made by the good representatives here at this table, I would concur with the comments made most recently, and state that and remind the body that this, as my staff person Jody Gaddy said, prioritize the survival and continued use of native languages is part of a whole phrase. Certainly, it speaks specifically to that. It doesn't speak in any way in prioritizing over economic development or over other languages or anything like that. And it does, in reference to referring to Representative Drummond's comments, it does bring back the notion of the emergency. Prioritizing brings back the notion of the emergency and the need to take action to preserve languages that are right now on the brink of extinction. And so I would oppose the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is my wish to pass this good resolution from this committee, and if your desire is to do that today, I can speak faster or speak more quickly. But I would say that please do not take from my discussion and my debates that I oppose this. I do support it and want to make sure it's in the forum that I can support and others can support, and that it actually achieves what the maker and the supporters wanted to achieve. I'm not just messing with you. I want to make this good resolution even better. I really do. The priority in the first definition, it says superiority in rank. I'm sorry, I'm reading from Webster's Ninth New Collegiate Dictionary because we don't have a Black's Law Dictionary. To prioritize is the quality of superiority in rank, position, or privilege. I won't live and die on emphasize versus priority. And in the interests of not amending amendments with conceptual amendments, I will delay until the last amendment my intent to add a clause and a word expeditious action to convey the need for quick action. So I do not dispute the idea that there quick action is needed and have an amendment that will address that. But in the interest of let's take a vote on it, but I won't debate the issue any further. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just state for the state of Alaska has many priorities. I would disagree with your statement that if something is a priority, it is the most important priority. The fact is that there are lots of things that we care about as a state, and there are some things that the state has prioritized, which I do not find to be priorities for myself, such as, I don't want to go too far afield. But with that, we'll take the roll if your objection is maintained, Representative. It was my objection, wasn't it? I maintain my objection. Would the Secretary please call the roll?
Representative Rauscher?
No.
Representative Sadler?
Yes.
Representative Lincoln?
No.
Representative Drummond?
No.
Representative Christ Tompkins, not present. Representative Tallarico, not present. Co-Chair Parrish?
No.
One yay, four nay.
At a vote of one yay, four nay, amendment number 3 has failed to pass. Would you like to move Representative Sadler?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment 4.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. I will object. Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, sir, briefly. Mr. Chairman, I have. We saw and heard a lot of testimony about the benefits and importance of Alaska Native language. However, except for, I've seen not as much testimony about the, regarding pedagogical evidence on the best way to achieve continuation of Alaska Native language. The idea that the declining use of Alaska Native language necessarily carries the obligation for specific methods of instruction and how it must be employed, I think it has not been sufficiently developed. That may be in the future, but I don't think we've developed a record to support that declaration. Again, this may be, and I suspect that this is an important element of the continuing effort of which this resolution is a foundational block, that there may be implications for instructional methods, but I don't think we've sufficiently developed it right now for us to say that that Indigenous people, I think on page 2, line 11, said Indigenous people should be able to provide education in the people's own language in a manner that is appropriate to the people's cultural methods of teaching and learning. That's, I think, about a half step too far at this point. So
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Representative Drummond, would you like to speak to your objection?
I'm going to think about this for a minute, but there's something that rubs me the wrong way about it, and let me listen to the discussion and
certainly
and see.
Ms. Gatti, would you like to speak on to this amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jody Gatti, staff to Representative Ortiz. We're speaking on page 2 of the resolution, lines 10 through 12. Indigenous peoples should be able to provide education in the people's own languages in a manner that is appropriate to the people's cultural methods of teaching and learning. The reason this clause was put in the resolution is to recognize that there are very many unique, different peoples within the state, and the reason we put in a manner that is appropriate to the people's cultural methods of teaching and learning is to recognize that there are many different ways of teaching and learning within this state, and we just wanted to recognize that and acknowledge that in this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gatti. Representative Drummond and Representative Sadler.
Somewhere in this last several years as a legislator, I ran into an issue of waiting for the Department of Education to approve who was going to be awarded some kind of certificate. I want to say an M certificate in teaching. Representative Ortiz might remember from his days as a teacher. I forget what it was, but this is a linguistic emergency. We don't have time to wait for anybody to certify any method of teaching. Children are open to learning exactly as they are. The sooner you start, we just need to get behind these folks and support them in every way that we can and just get out of their way and not try to determine what is or is not appropriate. I think that phrase belongs in this resolution because Alaska Native speakers know exactly how they're going to do this. In fact, I wish Professor Twitchell was still in the room because he could tell us how he did it and how he went to Hawaii and learned to speak Hawaiian. I believe he's getting a degree in Hawaiian. I mean, that's amazing. People like Professor Twitchell can tell us what these appropriate manners are, but I don't think it behooves us to remove this from the resolution. So I object.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Sadler.
In summation and wrap up, given the time constraints, I would note that in AS 1430-420, Native Language Education, there is a provision already in state law for school boards in communities where there is a majority Alaska Native Language population, that they may establish a local Alaska Native Language Curriculum Advisory Board, which can set up programs of instruction. So there already are some instructional methods that are laid out there. So, my intention is to make a better resolution that better achieves the goals, and I don't wish to impede that progress. So I will withdraw Amendment Number 4.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Although Amendment Number 5 was submitted after the deadline, it is the will of the Chair to hear it at this time.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. I would move Conceptual Amendment Number 1 to HCR 19, that being on page 2, line 14, following the word work at the end of the line, to insert the words expeditiously and.
Would you please read out the code of the
oh, board. Certainly. Oh, I didn't know we had the copy. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm moving what is essentially a 30-LS1402/uniform.5 and introducing that as Conceptual Amendment 1 to House Concurrent Resolution 9.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Very briefly, Mr. Chairman, as I said earlier, I think that the title of this resolution speaks of the linguistic emergency. And except for on the top of page 2, line 1, where it says the state's in critical danger of losing those languages, while we heard testimony to the effect that there is a definite time component and there's a need to hurry, the language of the bill does not explicitly state the need for, certainly the word emergency implies, but I want to explicitly say that we should call for fast action, and therefore in the first resolve clause, which is the action, I think it behooves us to say that the state agencies and the governor and the legislature and the Native Language Preservation Advisory Council should work expeditiously, meaning fast and actively. I would argue would add to the sense of urgency and explicitly state this has to happen fast.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Would the bill sponsor like to speak to the amendment?
No, we have no opposition to this.
Thank you. I will withdraw my objection. Is there any further objection at this time? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number one, which on page 2, line 14, following work, inserts the words expeditiously and,
Mr. Chair,
has been adopted.
Can I just do a shout-out? I want to thank Liz Medicine Crow for her help in making sure that we got that in there.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. That bill brings the bill as amended before us. Amendment number 5, previously listed, and most recently moved as conceptual amendment number 1, has been adopted. That brings us back to House Concurrent Resolution number 19, as amended.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Sadler.
I would ask the Chair's indulgence for the privilege of making the motion to move this from the committee.
You have my permission.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move passage of House Concurrent Resolution number 19 as amended conceptually, with zero fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion carries. We'll now take a brief at ease to sign the documents. That was the final item on the agenda. Our next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 13th at 8 a.m. This meeting stands adjourned at 10:10 a.m.